Wake up, America!
Wake up, America. It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in. This is Michael Dean. It's the Freedom Fiends After Dark. Don't listen to that guy who said it's Michael Dean After Dark. This is the Freedom Fiends After Dark. We've taken over Michael Dean After Dark. We've locked those guys out of the studio. This is Michael Dean, and this is the Freedom Fiends. We've locked Michael Dean After Dark out of the studio. And on the other end, in his moonshine still in North Carolina, not in a windowless bunker, he's actually out under the full moon tending his still, we've got Jack Johnson. Hello, Jack Johnson.
How you doing, Michael? How's everything going?
I'm nifty and full of life. I'm kind of I like radio where people laugh, man. You and Diana laugh a lot, and I'm kind of stuffy because I've been hanging upside down, but I'll get like a geriatric vampire, but I'll get more into that. But my cat Peanut, who's soft like a bunny, he likes to come when I'm watching TV. He likes to come and sit across my lap, and my wife calls him a crotch rabbit. I don't know what that means. I just wanted to say it because it's been ringing in my head since she said it. Crotch rabbit. That's Peanut. So
well,
go ahead, man. Go ahead.
It seems like now Diana, she's from up here, right?
Or yeah, out, she's from North Carolina. She I don't think she works in a moonshine still like you, but yeah, she's from your state. Why am I talking like this? I don't talk like this.
Mm-mm. No. Sounds like you do have a little bit of nasal decongestion or whatever.
I was going to say a little southern accent. I did live in Virginia for three and a half years.
Yeah,
Hanging upside down like a geriatric vampire, the snot goes to your nose and it gets yeah. So we bought this. This is going to sound like an ad, but we bought the BodyMax IT6000 inversion therapy table for $150. Actually, we used Bitcoin. We went to giftgyft.com. That's also not an ad. We don't get anything for that. But this inversion table, I don't know if it solved my back problems yet completely, but I feel better and feistier and more young and vibrant than I have in a long time. It was only $150, man. I went to the doctor recently, and they gave me muscle relaxants and steroids, and it was that didn't help. That just made me stupid and bloated. And
made me bloated.
So, yeah, we got this thing, man. It took, 2 hours to put together, and my wife put it together. She's better at spatial math than I am. But she put it together, and we hung upside down in it for just a couple minutes each at a time. I feel so much better, man. It's like it it uncompressed my discs in my back, and I'm going to put a link to it in tonight's show notes. But if anybody wants to get one of these, man, go through the Fiend's Amazon link. Cause it's not a paid advertisement. I should call these people up and be their paid be their spokesmodel. Cause man, it made me feel good. I'll make you feel good. Yeah. All right. So Jack, what's on your mind?
Well, I was going to say to you about the inversion bed, like we were talking about earlier, table. I had a friend that had back problems for 10 years until he got one of those things. So, and he changed overnight. It was like he couldn't even walk around, and he was this really young, healthy guy. But when he got his inversion bed, I've heard yoga. That was a discussion we had
yoga
earlier.
Takes work, man. This thing, yeah, you just hang upside down.
And that's what worked for him. And I think yoga was kind of stressing his lower back a little bit. It does work for some folks, but yeah. I live in a town full of yoga folks anyway. So there's all types of remedies.
Did you call them control hippies?
Control hippies is how I put it. Yeah.
What's a control hippie?
It's a holier than thou hippie that has decided that they're going to run for office and they know what's better for you.
Did you make that up?
I think it came off my tongue, and that's I did funny, not hear man. It from anybody else.
I'm going to have to borrow that and use that whenever I talk about nanny staters, especially in California. That's just awesome. Control hippies.
Whole hippies. Yeah. we've got a lot of them here, and we'll get into a story later on tonight about one of our DA races that's happening. And it, you'll find it funny because it's being the Twin Peaks of the South, I should say.
Yeah. Well, you wanted to talk about Oklahoma, which isn't not the South, but to me the accent sounds Southern, and I guess you get to feel like less hicker than thou when you talk about Oklahoma. The way you were telling me about it, it sounded like that.
Correct. Oklahoma, actually, the reason why they have a Southern accent is because a lot of people from the South moved to Texas and Oklahoma after the Civil War, specifically the Cherokee Nation. And the Cherokee Nation, ironically, did a lot of factions from the Cherokee Nation fought for the Confederacy. There you go. Huh. So they moved out to Oklahoma.
Yeah, there's a occasionally in Wyoming, there's a few more people than you'd expect to have a Southern accent here. In general, people in Wyoming have a completely neutral accent. I mean, we're right next to Nebraska, which literally, like, they put call centers in Nebraska because it has the most neutral accent in America. Mm-hmm. But and it's literally the center of the country, which is kind of interesting. But
I tried to get a job here.
And what happened? They said, no way.
No, I walked into the call center and basically it was for tech support. The same thing that I had done for – I actually ran a tech support department for a cable company for a while. And I came to Nebraska to get married. Bad decision. But at the same time, they said, well, why don't you come down here and interview? And everybody I talked to said, nope, your voice is not going to work.
Well, and, yeah, that's kind of weird though because there are a lot of call centers in Texas with people who have distinctly Texas accents. But I guess I guess it works in Texas but not Oklahoma. I mean, not Nebraska.
Nebraska. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but a lot of people moved here after Katrina, and then not many stayed. But the one when you do hear, you know, the occasional Southern accent in Wyoming, it's somebody that came here after they lost everything in Katrina.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. We had a lot of them move up from Louisiana to where we were at after Katrina, too, as well. And it moved a huge chunk of Mardi Gras culture. I had not experienced it, but they kind of brought Mardi Gras up here. So we have Mardi Gras festivals now. And it's just odd, but that's what happens.
Yeah, I heard Texas got a lot of criminals from New Orleans after Katrina. Oh, that, I read this really bizarre article about it, too, was that I think it was Houston or Dallas. There was some jail that was so overwhelmed with violent crime, with violent criminals in the jail after Katrina, you know, people from New Orleans, that they basically – there was a DA there who basically – was like letting people out who'd been arrested for murder or manslaughter.
Wow.
Like was letting them out after 90 days. Uh-huh. And the nickname for that charge and that treatment there was misdemeanor manslaughter, which is just twisted. And then I heard that years after that in New Orleans, there were these DAs and jailers who were like kept dealing with this weird issue of like, you know, somebody who would be arrested for murder and after 90 days they'd be like banging on the cell going, all right, I'm ready to go now. Because that's how it worked for a little while in Houston. That is twisted, man.
Yeah, Katrina's going to be one of those events that if you weren't alive during that period, it's going to be difficult to explain to other younger generations why it was so messed up.
Misdemeanor manslaughter.
Misdemeanor. Yep.
Yeah, man. So
no, moving
our focus to Oklahoma.
Right.
You take it. Go ahead. Go with us.
So
go with God.
Go with God. Okay. So
you'll need him.
There's the satanic group in, I think New York is where they're based out of, but they want to put up a statue. Well, here's what's going on. It's multi-pronged. No devil pun there, but multi-pronged issue, which is the Satanic Temple, I believe based out in New York, is going to put up a statue in Oklahoma. Basically, it looks like Baphomet, and it's got two children looking on either side of Baphomet, like lovingly. And
Baphomet is a goat-headed man god, right. Basically.
Yeah, it's our basic image of the devil, and people are all bent out of whack.
Really,
about
I don't know. The basic image of the devil I usually think of is someone who looks like Don Draper from Mad Men. I usually think of him as a businessman with little pointy horns.
In New Orleans, I think I forget what the name of that movie was, Bloody Heart or whatever it was. But the a lot of people have been out of shape. They don't like it. But
wait, what Angel Heart?
Yeah, Angel Heart. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah,
that
the was devil was De Niro.
That's right.
He dressed wore as a suit. A businessman. Yeah.
That's right. And so this is they're going to put it in bronze because they think putting it in bronze will keep Christian redneck guys from destroying it. And
you're a Christian and kind of a redneck, right?
Correct.
Okay, so go on. Just wanted to make it clear. And you think this whole situation's pretty funny, but I want to get this out there so I don't get tarred and feathered on talk radio for talking about how funny this whole thing is. I will point out that you are a Christian and a redneck, but you're laughing at Christian rednecks here.
Well, it's because basically the one thing that I've noticed that Satanists do is that they know exactly how to poke fun at Christians and get a response.
Well, because really, I think without I've met a few people who were who called themselves satanic in my life, and all of mm-hmm. them, to a man, were former Catholics.
That's correct.
I've never met someone who was raised agnostic and became a Satanist. It's basically a reaction to, you know, poor Christian potty training.
And that's the reason why the same group, not to flip sides here and talk about something else, but that's the reason why the same group sponsored we're trying to get a black mass set up to, in all places, Boston and Harvard, in that area there.
Harvard.
Yeah. But I think the Catholic Church ironically stepped in, and it's funny you mention that because it's obvious that it's ex-Catholics that became Satanists that were putting it on directly in Boston, one of the most Catholic places.
Yeah, two of the most Catholic places in America probably are Boston and New Orleans of all places, which is Sin City. But you know why lawmakers and judges so often don't want the Ten Commandments in front of courthouses?
No, hit me up with that one.
Because they break all of them all day long.
Oh.
Because all governments break all Ten Commandments as their business model. That's how governments work, which is why I think this whole thing's really funny, because I not only don't think that there should be religious icons on government property, I don't think there should be government property.
Right. And it's kind of funny, you know, it's kind of like a natural trend based just building on what you said about government for them to have a monument of the devil.
Oh, I mean, this looks like it should be on the back of, you know, the U.S. $20 bill to me, more than the pyramid. It looks even more appropriate. Yeah, this goat man god with children at his feet. All right, we'll be back after this trip to the free market.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Michael Dean After Dark.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
This is Michael Dean. It's the Freedom Fiends. This is Michael Dean, and yes, I am formulated for multiple cats. And over there on the other side, we got Jack Johnson sipping moonshine and preaching the Lord's work here. All right. So what is the name of – you told me something funny about this whole situation with the satanic group in Oklahoma that wants to put a statue of the devil, goat-headed devil, being surrounded by loving children in front of the courthouse.
Well, it was sitting around with other Southerners listening to how they would destroy the statue. And everybody was a welder. They were in the metallurgy. It's like what you were talking about. They know how to get rid of it. Like the satanic group was like, well, they'll never be able to mess with a bronze statue. And I'm like, what, really?
You don't know what rednecks do for a living. Yeah, they blow stuff up and they cut things in half. Yeah.
Exactly. And even a car crusher guy was like, Ryan, we just crushed that. But it – so you said you had a funny story about welding.
I used to live with a guy who was a welder in San Francisco, which is kind of weird. Like, you know, you think of everyone in San Francisco as being like, you know, a web designer or a graphic artist or working in a coffee shop. I was in early recovery off of dope. I lived with this guy who was it's kind of an interesting guy. We were born the same day and the same year, and he's dead now.
Nice.
He didn't stay sober. He was sober for about a year, and then he went out and relapsed on a bunch of drugs and served a year in jail for a very interesting crime, ramming a police car with his car, with the cop in the police car, ramming it 6 times while naked.
So how long was he in jail for doing that?
A year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
It could have been a lot longer. They could have got him for, you know, attempted homicide. But, yeah, that guy, we lived in a duplex, and the people above us, we were all sober, so we were like, we don't like people who do drugs. We were like, you know, recently sober, you know how there's, like, nothing worse than an ex-smoker? We were like that. And our upstairs neighbors were a bunch of British ravers whose drug of choice was intravenous ketamine, which is a dissociative drug, kind of like PCP, that makes you it's ridiculous. People, you know, on PCP, people kind of get superhuman strength, and they're anesthetized, and they can get very angry. And, you know, there's a lot of stories, a lot of them are true, of, like, you know, people attacking cops and being shot. People on PCP being shot with enough bullets to, like, kill a normal man, and they're still raging. So we had these upstairs neighbors who were on ketamine, a very similar drug, you know, dissociative psychedelic animal tranquilizer, which I guess makes rave music sound acceptable. I don't know. But they were, like, having raves above us, like, 24/7, and it was horrible. And we would go and knock on the door, and we got in a big fight with them, back and forth and back and forth. And finally, my roommate that was the welder, took his oxyacetylene torch downstairs and burned a pentagram in their front door.
Wow.
And it just looked so bizarre. Our joke was, it looked like the devil walked by and just took his hand and went poof and kept walking. Yeah.
What did British ravers do? Oh, this is my friend. He's a veterinarian. And they just kind
of, I don't know. It was basically a situation of, like, the guy who lived there before them was a rave DJ who was, you know, had his life together, was not a drug addict, was flown all over the world to make a lot of money, you know, DJing raves, and had a name for himself. I can't remember his name, but ravers would know his name. And he brought his three of his buddies over from England to, like, roadie for him and move his equipment around. And they were just crazy. And he, you know, he had a wife and kid, and he was like, he moved out, left them the keys, and basically subletted to them, and went and, you know, just did what a guy with money would do. He just went and got a better place to get away from it. And they just stopped paying rent. They not only stopped paying rent, but it takes about 3 months to get evicted in San Francisco for not paying rent. And they started renting out rooms in the house, like, knowing they were going to get evicted and not telling people. And, you know, we were petty. We would, like, see people coming up to the house we didn't know, and we'd go, you know, they're getting evicted, and they'd just keep walking. Like, they were coming to rent the house. But, you know, they would, like, collect rent from a bunch of people, and then they were just scam artists. They were, you know, British drug addicts, you know.
I mean, there's so much deference to British people within our culture, and I've never quite understood that. It's like sales calls. I can do a British accent. If I call up somebody and I use a British accent, I can make a sell on. But if I call up with my normal Southern voice, it's almost like people discount what you have to say.
Yeah, doesn't work on me, man. You know, I really think that a Southern accent is basically a British accent baked in sun and whiskey.
Bingo. It's exactly what it is. Yeah. And so people, naturally, they think British people are just smart, and they know how to do everything correctly. And after having dated two English women, I know that's not the case. And it's just the way things are.
Well, people are the same wherever you go. It's like, you know, English people aren't smart or stupid, and same thing with Southern people. And it's just, you know, people have preconceptions and they're wrong.
That's right.
We'll be back with more telling you how it is and why you're wrong and why we're right after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. This is what radio sounds like now.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
This is the Freedom Fiends. And this is Michael Dean, who is formulated for multiple cats. And over there in the wood pile with his whiskey, his moonshine, under the full moon, we got Jack Johnson. And you know, the Prince of Darkness won't see the light of day in Oklahoma if lawmakers have their way. That's kind of redundant. I mean, kind of ironic. I mean, it's basically saying Satan won't show his face if Satan has his way. How I read that. Lawmakers, that's the devil, man.
And it's,
I mean, think about how ungodly being a lawmaker is. It's judging man. It's putting yourself before God. It's kicking God off the throne.
And that's the way we would look at it up here in the mountains. The reason why we took to having government
y'all are
people
drunk
up here. Yeah.
Yeah, y'all are drunk all the time.
Well, that's what they say. You know, and that's the reason why we need government up here.
Because you're drunk all the time and you need someone who's less drunk to tell you what to do.
Exactly.
And yeah, but aren't the lawmakers drunk in North Carolina?
I pretty much think that most of them are drinking. They have to. We run a state like this.
Here's what I think. I think if this satanic group really wants to make a difference, they're never going to get this thing in front of the courthouse in Oklahoma. And if they do, it's going to get pulled off with a pickup truck and shattered the first day it's up there, or thrown into a car crusher, or oxyacetylene torched into a million pieces. What I think they should do is scan it, make a three-dimensional CAD file of it, put it on the internet, and invite anybody to make copies of it for free with no copyright. It's a really well-done sculpture. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would really – this, you know, the version of this that's in clay, you know, in kilned clay, you know, tan-colored what is this called? Terracotta, I guess, you know, that they're going to make the brass mold out of. This looks like it should be in the garden center at Walmart.
What, with giant Bigfoots?
With a giant Bigfoot. And then everybody could just have one of these in their yard that wants one. You know, that's what – I like private property, not public property. It's the tragedy of the commons. So go on with what you're going to say about the Catholics and Dr. Faust or whatever. Who's the guy?
Well, apparently it's Dr. or Professor Drew Faust, and I think it's a girl according to the way that they worded
Faust. Oh, come on.
Yes.
Shut the front door.
I'm not kidding. Harvard President Drew Faust called the planned performance abhorrent. He's referring to the Catholic, the black mass that they were going to have until the Catholic Church got involved at Harvard.
Isn't a black mass just reading the Catholic mass backwards or something?
It kind of, with a whole bunch of naked women and kind of other stuff going on.
So it's more interesting than church is what you're saying.
It's a fair mockery of what they believe. And so I guess that was their point of view.
A fair mockery. Is that a term down south? I like that.
It maybe now it is. But so the point was that –
Man, you have a way with words. You use your tongue prettier than a – never mind. But a fair mockery, like that term doesn't exist, and you just said that. It's a fair mockery. I do declare, sir, I challenge you to a duel. That is a fair mockery of my values, my good Catholic values.
Trial by combat. Yeah. It was ironic that the professor is named Faust, of all things.
Yeah.
And the main person
that means the devil. Well, it's a character in a book about the devil.
Right. Who made the deal, Dr. Faust. Yeah. And so the whole point, it was that –
and he was a scholar. He was a professor.
That's right.
Faust, the protagonist in the German legend.
It's almost bizarre. This whole situation is like skirting on surreality. And it's like a Robert Anton Wilson novel. And so what ends up happening is that you've got them trying to put up
surreality.
A statue.
Surreality? Is that how you say – is that a word for surreal? You remind me of like Tennessee Williams, man. You're awesome. Okay, go on.
And so they got the Catholic Student Union together, and they got all 400 signatures.
Oh, I'm scared.
At Harvard to get this thing banned. And what ended up happening was they canceled it on Monday. I was actually – I wouldn't say as a Christian I was looking forward to it. I was looking forward to the fallout of it to see what happened. And so when I woke up Tuesday morning and I checked the news, I was kind of heartbroken that nothing happened and that they had canceled it. And you were going back – what you were talking about earlier about them opening up that image that they were going to put up in Oklahoma to some type of open source CAD file. The one thing that I do know about Satanists – They're pretty hardcore capitalists. They charge for dang near everything.
All of them? I mean, that's a pretty bold statement there. That's kind of lumping them all together.
is it, in general, that's what I've seen over the years. You remember an artist by the name of Coop that a lot of
– Yeah. He wasn't a Satanist though, really, was he?
I think he was. I mean, they support a lot of his stuff at the Church of Satan out there in California.
That's because it's trendy and
– Maybe so. Yeah. But but it seems to me that every time that I've ever dealt with them, that they charge for everything that they do. They're pretty big on intellectual property rights as well.
Huh. I thought he was just a hot rod artist or a tattoo artist.
I think he was involved. The reason why is that they featured him in several – I forget what the name of the blonde girl that was Anton LaVey's daughter. But there's like a whole – there's a whole group of folks out there.
A whole herd of them.
A whole herd of satanic artists out in California, and I think Coop is one of them. But they enjoy the capitalism.
There's nothing on his Wikipedia page about him being a Satanist. I think it would be on there if it was well known that he is. He does do a lot of like female character devil women kind of stuff, but it all seems kind of like cutesy and not very serious to me. I mean, this devil image that these people want to put on there, this thing looks scary, man. This looks like something out of a horror movie with little children dancing around it.
I know. And speaking of that, Geiger died this week too.
Geiger,
that's right.
Did he really? Wow.
Yes.
You know, he's the artist who, oh God, how do you even describe him? I mean, he did study pop culture references to him. Let's see. He did the cover of the Emerson, Lake & Palmer record, Brain Salad Surgery. He did the image called Penis Landscape in the Dead Kennedys record, Bedtime for Democracy, was it? Or was it – it was one of them. It was one of all the Shriners in mm-hmm. the little cars on the cover.
Oh, I love that one.
Which is a great record. A really like dark, psychedelic sounding. Like the last record they did before they broke up. He also did the sets for Alien, maybe, or some mm-hmm. one of those movies. He's just a really dark European artist that I've always really dug his stuff a lot. He had, you know, he had no peer. He wasn't the best at what he did. He was the only who did what he did. To paraphrase Jerry Garcia about the dead, the Grateful Dead. But yeah, his stuff was awesome. And you know, I interviewed Dave Brocky from GWAR, who's a friend of mine. I've interviewed him a couple times. He's in my movie DIY or Die: How to Survive as an Independent Artist, which I am showing at Porkfest and giving a Q&A. And Dave Brocky died recently also, but I remember Dave Brocky said that H.R. Giger came to one of GWAR's gigs, and he came backstage to meet them, and I was like, wow, what was that like? And Dave said, for me, it was like a blessing from the Pope for a Catholic.
Wow. Have you ever seen the documentary when his mom actually comes by to see him?
Who, Giger or Dave Brocky?
Giger.
No.
And shoot, I forget what country he lives in Europe.
Sweden, wasn't it?
Sweden. Yeah, it was in one of the Scandinavian countries. Yes, yeah, she literally comes into the front door of his house like this little old church lady and looks like
– Switzerland.
Looks Sorry. Like a little old church lady and comes and literally sits down and has dinner with him like he's a small child. Like he literally works that way. And there, around him is all this imagery that he's had from over the years of doing aliens and his other side works, especially some of the books that he put out in the portfolios. And we watched this and it was just odd, you know, to see his mom. It's like, hello, you know, just walk right in.
Yeah, it is weird to think of, you know, someone who kind of looks like the Prince of Darkness or his art to have a mother and be a normal person. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, I did check it out. Coop, apparently, he's on the Church of Satan Wikipedia page. He's considered a member along with death metal guitarist Matthew McGrath, Sammy Davis Jr., and the artist Coop. And according to
Sammy
MTV,
Davis Jr.?
That's right.
I know Marilyn Manson was made a priest in the Church of Satan, and I really think that they're very into the Church of Satan. Anton LaVey's church in San Francisco is very into publicity and kind of like riding the coattails of famous people. I know that Anton LaVey claimed a lot of connection with famous, like, you know, claimed that like P.T. Barnum was his dad or something like that,
right?
And none of it was true, and you know, they probably, like, I would imagine, like, who was the other one? Who was the singer from the Rat Pack? Sammy Davis Jr.
Davis,
you know,
right.
He probably came to a party at LaVey's house in the 60s or 70s when it was a real swinging place to go and not decrepit and depressing and, you know, probably got really drunk and said, yeah, I'm going to make you a member of the Church of Satan. And, you know, Sammy Davis Jr. probably said, yeah, all right, crazy cat, out of sight, man. You know, it probably doesn't mean he regularly attended satanic masses or anything. And Manson, too, said that, you know, I mean, I don't think Manson is even really a Satanist. I think he's more P.T. Barnum than he is, you know, Mephistopheles.
I think there was a lot of showmanship to the California satanic crowd. And I think that's what you see when you're looking at what was going on in Oklahoma and Harvard. They're, like I said, they enjoy doing what they do, poking the tail, you know, and trying to make people agitated.
It's so not my thing. I respect people who do it, but it's not my thing at all. I just want to have a great body of work that expands every night with two more hours of yakking and have it up on the torrents. So when I'm finally droned, you know, there'll be enough out there that it can get shared without dying. Mm-hmm. That's my only goal.
I think when you have a lot of dark, iconoclastic narcissists running around, that's what they do. You know, they make statues of Baphomet to put up places. Yeah.
You know, two of the craziest, coolest artists I ever met were from Oklahoma. There are these two guys named the Enger Brothers, E-N-G-E-R, Matt and Mark Enger. Mark died recently of cancer. I was really sad about it. And they were really cool guys, and I met them when my band Bomb played Stillwater, Oklahoma in 1986. And we went over to their house and we were like, first of all, the only time I've ever had a gun pointed at my face was I went over and knocked. Someone said, you should go meet these guys. I went over and knocked on their door and I was greeted with a shotgun in my face. Mm. And it was just them being, you know, it was them being wild and crazy and living up to a reputation. But, you know, they're also leave me alone types too. But I was like, man, your art is great. You guys should move. My drummer and I were like, you guys should move to New York City. And, you know, we stayed there for 2 days, hung out with them. And then they, you know, stenciled some things on our equipment. We had for years. And like 6 months later in San Francisco, we get a postcard from them from New York City saying, we took your advice. I was like,
wow,
literally, I think it had never crossed their mind. And they moved to New York City and kind of became a big deal. You know, they had a lot of showings and they were kind of like the bad boys of the downtown art scene, if that's even possible, you know, because the whole scene is bad boys. But they were like, you know how people, the New York underground art scene can tolerate exactly two redneck artists from Oklahoma, you know? So we'll be back with more after this trip to the free market where you can buy lawn ornaments of Baphomet at the Walmart, maybe.
Bath assaults.
Someday. Bath assaults.
Yeah.
West outlaw bath assaults.
This radio show is called Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com to help keep it drone-proof.
This is the Central Scrutinizer.
I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to
torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
Talking about great artists who died. We're talking about great artists who died, like Mark Enger and H.R. Giger. Yeah, it's Michael Dean, formulated for multiple cats on the Freedom Fiends. And Jack Johnson.
Arg.
Pirate noises.
So, yeah, yep. The mountain pirate. Yeah.
So where were we?
We were talking about Giger, and we were also talking about your friends that were in New York City.
And yeah, Matt and Mark Enger.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, since nobody can see what we're looking at, what else you got?
Yeah, I know, right? Well, the point that we were talking about Satanism earlier and how in California it had kind of like a carnival.
It was kind of
carnival.
Hip.
Yeah, well, I think Anton LaVey was a carnival. He played piano in a carnival for
organ.
Years. Organ.
Yeah.
Right. And that was kind of his shtick whenever he came out to California, and whenever he came up with the idea to start this up. I think he was Jewish. I'm not sure for certain, but I think he was. And the other thing was that he had a huge split in the Church of Satan. I'm actually saying this from memory. I'm not looking at Google. He had a huge split in the Church of Satan. He had a priest there for a while that worked with the U.S. Army by the name of Aquino. After a while, Quino wanted to get more scholastic about the whole deal. And LeVay was pretty happy with Naked Chicks and partying and stuff like that. So they split up, and one group went one way and one group went the other. But I think it's a pretty fractionalized society at this point. Like people fight over who's going to be, you know, the next person in charge of the church. And then you have Aquino and his group of folks, and they're primarily all ex-military. And then you have what you have out here in Oklahoma, which seems to be a little bit more showmanship. Now, what I saw this week, which I thought was absolutely bizarre, was they went to Fred Phelps, and this is something that just came to mind, and you can check this out on the internet, but they went to Fred Phelps, and they have this thing called making somebody gay after they're dead.
Fred Phelps, yeah. Okay, for people who don't know, is the guy who runs the church that protests. They're really obnoxious. They're horrible. They, you know, protest soldiers' funerals and say, you know, homosexuality kills soldiers and things like that. You know, like God killed your son because there are gays in America and things like that. What's his church called?
I forget, but it's in Topeka, Kansas, I believe.
Yeah.
And it was the Phelps Family Church. We actually met somebody that
I know where you're going with this, what they did to his mother's grave.
Right.
What a bunch of Satanists did to his mother's grave, which I don't know. I think the answer to that is like, don't have public property, man. Have your mother buried on your own property. I don't like public property. I really don't.
No, it's not the way to do things. It's, we especially see it out here because they started to lock down on people going out to the National Forest. And that's been a big issue in regards. Also, water rights have been a big issue right now because they're trying to claim that's public property. But getting back to the whole what these guys are up to, it seems like they're going off the handle this summer. It seems like the Satanists are going full bore for whatever they're doing. So we haven't seen the last of this. You know,
if I were a conspiracy theorist, I'd believe it was a government plot to like say, look at this hand, not this hand, you know, so they can steal your rights and tyrannize you more while you're upset about things that happen on public property when there shouldn't be public property.
They do have a tendency to do that. So it, and a lot of the folks have been taking their mind off the fact that we're about ready to get launched into a full blown war with Russia if we keep going. And that was really funny too. Did you hear what happened after Barack Obama put all these sanctions on Russia? They had an economic boom, like their economy suddenly had
Russia?
An uptick. Yeah. So all the sanctions that we put on them had no effect whatsoever.
Maybe you can explain this to me. I looked up Fred Phelps and his God Hates Fags Church, also known as the Westboro Baptist Church, who are really horrible people. And it says here his religion is Primitive Baptist, and also known as Hard Shell Baptist, Anti-Mission Baptists, or Old School Baptists.
Okay, we'll get to that when we come back.
You know some of them?
I do. All right. We have stories about them.
We'll be back.
Okay.
Thanks, man. Hour two coming up.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com. That's michaelwdean.com.
Good evening, my fellow
worms. I know some things.
I'll be back with more later on.
I'm never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
The stato sperimentato.
The United States government presents
no vision. Congrats.
Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Estos por su parte consideran
to provide guidance to mankind.
Go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
This is Michael Dean. I spent the break hanging upside down like a geriatric vampire, and I feel good. I want to thank my friend Garrett Fox for turning me on to inversion table technology. It's the greatest $150 I've ever spent in my life. And it's less than I spent on the doctor I went to for my back recently, who did nothing for me except drug me and make me stupid, and it didn't help at all. So, Jack Johnson, we found we found this list of rules to live by on the internet. Or, you know, not just on the internet, but anywhere. And we're going to read them and discuss them. It's kind of interesting. Go for it. Pick and choose whichever ones you want.
All right. The first one is, do not give opinions or advice unless you're asked.
Okay. Then that every talk radio host is breaking that one.
Do not tell your troubles to others unless you're sure you want to hear them. They want to hear them.
Ditto.
Okay. And if a guest is in your home and annoys you, treat him cruelly and without mercy. Do not make sexual advances unless you're given the sign. And then let's go down here. Do not take that which does not belong to you unless it is a burden on another person and he cries out to be relieved from it. Do not complain about anything which you yourself are not subject. Do not harm little children. Do not kill human animals unless you are attacked or for your food. We'll leave it at that.
When walking in open territory, bother no one. Bother no one. If someone bothers you, ask him to stop. If he does not stop, destroy him. Yeah, these are this is from the Church of Satan. These are the 11 satanic rules of the earth. And I think Satanism is pretty stupid. I had one friend that was a Satanist. I don't think these rules are stupid. I actually read these rules before I became a libertarian. And I was like, these rules make so much sense. They really do. We skipped a couple that would have given it away.
Like, right, yeah. Like,
acknowledge the power of magic.
Magic.
Yeah, I'm like, come on, man. I had a friend who was a Satanist. He was kind of an interesting cat. His name was Eddie Sky. Eddie, also known as Edgar Ivan Carranza, was his real name. And he was the grandson of the president of Mexico. After the Mexican Revolution, there was a president Carranza. It was this cat's literally his grandfather. And he was president for 1 month, and then there was another revolution, and they murdered him and cut his heart out. And they have his heart in a jar in the National Museum in Mexico City.
Amazing.
Yep. And this guy was a bisexual drug addict, and he died of AIDS, and he was a Satanist. And of course, a lot of anti-Satanists would say, see, that proves it. But the interesting thing was, this cat had – he was the go-go dancer for my band Bomb. We had a male go-go dancer. He was basically our roadie, but you know, it was more interesting to have a fourth person up there running around in circles. So we had him doing that. His mother was very Catholic. You know, like I said, every Satanist ever probably is Catholic. Mm-hmm. Although actually I think there's some Protestant ones in the black metal scene in Scandinavia.
I would have to agree. And that's an interesting scene because what's the name? Vars Filgner. Is that his name? The guy that burnt the churches down.
Yeah.
All throughout Norway. Yeah. He's an interesting cat to follow.
Yeah. I don't follow his beliefs, but I follow him in the newspaper.
Right. Yeah. Right. And he's always, him and his wife got busted, I believe in France, for firearms violations and some other things, but he, not to put down on him because, but still it's, he's an odd person. I don't think he's a Satan as much as I believe he's Ossetrude.
He's a Viking.
Viking, correct. Ossetrude. Yeah,
you're playing with your mic there. I can hear it a lot. This is a teaching hospital, so I'll say that in the
end. Okay. I think what happened was I poked something underneath it. So how does that sound now? Good?
Oh, you sounded good. It was just a lot of like kind of sound. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right. I know exactly what was causing that. I apologize. Thank you.
Yeah. So I read these. Anyway, my friend Eddie, when he died, his mother had a Catholic funeral for him, and his friends were really upset. And I was like, why are you upset at her? You know, so what if he was a Satanist? Give her some closure. Leave her alone. Let her have her funeral. Mm-hmm. And they did. I kind of like, I mean, they were going to like protest it. And I kind of talked to them and was like, come on, man, let her have her little ritual and feel good. You know, her son's dead. Leave her alone and go have your own, you know, funeral that Eddie would like out in the woods or something. And they did. And yeah, so. You know, a lot of Satanists too are connected that I knew in San Francisco were also connected with the Temple of Psychic Youth. You ever encountered any of those weirdos?
Oh yeah, that's Porridge, right?
Genesis Porridge.
That's right.
Psychic TV.
He owns a house here in town. So
yeah, you know, he bought that house because he was I've met him. He's a weirdo. He's a she now too, isn't he?
Yeah, it's kind of definitely. He looks like a she now. He's got breasts
surgery.
And everything.
Yeah. Well, you know where he got the money for that surgery in that house was he was hanging out with my friend Helios Creed and the band Love and Rockets, who were all had been playing together in different conglomerations at that time. And they were hanging out at Rick Rubin's house, you know, the guy who owns Def Jam or owned Def Records. Really, really cool label. They signed such a diverse type of number of groups. Like they signed like Run DMC, Johnny Cash, and Megadeth. Wow. And I'm like, and Flipper. And I'm like, what could those bands possibly have in common with each other? And then I was thinking it basically they're the top at their game in their own genre. That's who he signs. And he signed Love and Rockets, and Genesis Porridge was hanging out with them at the mansion compound of Rick Rubin in LA, and they were doing a bunch of drugs, and Genesis Porridge fell off the roof, rolled off the roof and broke, you know, his back or something. And he wasn't even supposed to be there. Like, you know, like Rick Rubin didn't even know who he was. He knew who Love and Rockets were, and they had some friends over, and one of them fell off the roof and sued Rick Rubin, and it's California. So he won.
Wow.
He got like $1.8 million or something. I think it was a really cheesy thing to do, man.
Yeah, well, I think he like I said, I found out he moved here or at least has a house here. And then at the same time, he's been involved with the process a lot more in the last few years. And
what's
people
the process?
Don't know the Process Church, the people that influenced Manson, and apparently they're still around too as well.
Man, and why does everyone need a church?
I don't know. I didn't figure it out. We talked about that. For here, we generally tend not to do. We get together with just friends, and we go out into the mountains and do our thing. And so, to us, kind of like having a church is, you know,
I think
taxable.
I think it's kind of antithetical to Christianity, really,
and
to a lot of religions. I mean, you know, it's especially churches that have a lot of like gilding and gold and jewels and money, and you know, I mean, I think the Catholic Church is. Not first century Christianity at all. You know, I mean, they do have a direct lineage to the 12 apostles, but I don't think they're anything to do with them, man.
Now, even if you look back in the Old Testament, God was like all down on the church thing, and he just said, just make an altar of unhewn rock, not without human hands.
Yeah.
And so it just – and the church has become such a – institution of the state now too as well. It seems they're on Fox News for Pete's sake, and that was the one thing I noticed about the Harvard protests of the Black Mass was that the Catholic Church was like on there, and it was like they knew everybody from Fox that they were talking to, and it kind of told me what I needed to know. And the fact that they have so much pull that they can tell Harvard what to do is amazing, you know.
Of course they can tell Harvard what to do. It's Harvard in Boston, in Cambridge, yes.
Yeah, and you were asking me about Primitive Baptist earlier. We've got those guys here. What was different, though, about getting back to what we were talking about with Fred Phelps, I don't know if you know this, but like every mass shooter, Fred Phelps is a Democrat.
Like every mass shooter.
I always find that funny that
like the KKK, he's a Democrat.
Exactly.
KKK were Democrat. You know, a lot of people forget that, but it's true.
It is true. And that was one of the first time I was actually on your show. We talked about the Democrats and how much they've had so much influence, especially with strange high weirdness. And people look at them as being like holier than
high weirdness.
That's exactly right. But with what we've been on this kind of the same theme on the Primitive Baptist side, what here what you were asking me what they believed, and they literally, if it's not in the King James Bible, they don't mess with it. So they don't believe in infant baptism, and most of them believe in living water baptism. My uncle is a primitive Baptist, is how I know. But they kind of looked at Fred Phelps with a little bit of askance, because Fred had all this money. He was a lawyer. He flew around and protested. And most of them that I see around here in the mountains, they're kind of like holy men, like you'd see in India. The elders, people are highly respected here, and so people don't, and they're unassuming, and they're nice, and if you're on the side of the road at 2 o'clock in the morning, they're the people that pick you up and get you back into town. So the Fred Phelps experience, I think he deserved what he had coming to him, for lack of better words.
Which was some gay Satanists filming filming themselves having sex on his mother's grave and putting it on the internet.
Did you finally find a copy of that? Yeah.
I saw it like the week it happened. My Twitter feed is a full and vibrant Twitter feed. And, every morning I get it while I'm having my coffee, and I get it. There's like 100 things in there, and I click on the 4 or 5 that kind of catch my attention. And that was one of them. And I watched a minute or two of it and went, oh, cool. This is like art school dropout stuff, man. Whatever.
We were talking about, how a lot of these 60-year-old Satanists, our discussion was they're just doing it for the chicks.
What I said was they just like being with – let's make it radio friendly. I was looking at the pictures on churchofsatan.com, and I said these are just 60-year-old guys that like to be with plump 30-year-old chicks in scantily clad with devil ears. And, who wouldn't?
We have that here, except they're pagans and they like to do the same thing. And they're either 60 or 70 years old.
People need ritual?
I don't know.
I guess I need ritual. I need to like talk on the radio every day. That's my ritual. Mm-hmm. But it's I've made my own ritual. Mm-hmm. I really believe too. There's a saying if you want to get rich, go into politics or start a church. And I really feel like a lot of these churches, whether they're I'm not denigrating Christianity at all, and you're a Christian, and I respect you for it. Actually, 3 of my 10 co-hosts are Christian. You're Christian, Diana's Christian, and Randy's Christian, and mm-hmm. Randy's Catholic Christian. He wrote a book called Why Catholics Should Be Libertarian. I feel like a lot of churches, whether they're the Church of England or the Catholic Church or some local church or Fred Phelps's church or the Church of Satan or the Temple of Psychic Youth. I feel like a lot of these are started by people who are bored and want money and sex and power. Mm.
I have to agree.
Worms.
All right.
We can't mention Scientology. They'll sue us.
No, no.
We'll be back. Was started by a sci-fi writer.
You are destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving. You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
It's Michael Dean, and it's After Dark. And the snow is finally melting in Wyoming. Yes, it snowed last week. Man, it's crazy. When we first moved here, we came through on a reconnaissance journey, my wife and I, to see which city we wanted to live in. And we stopped for lunch in Casper, and this was like June. and the restaurant we were in had a snow shovel up against the door inside, wow, just inside the front door. And I was like, is that a joke or decoration? And they're like, nope. So you never know when you're going to need it. All right. So we were talking about why people start churches. And, you know, Anton LaVey, who started the Church of Satan, which is a really goofy thing, and they are in the phone book in San Francisco in the yellow pages under churches. It's like churches, Baptist, churches, Catholic, churches, Presbyterian, churches, satanic. They're in there. You know, they're legit. They're a real thing. I think it's goofy. I think churches are goofy, especially ones that have a lot of dogma. But he was influenced by Ayn Rand. And I guess when I read his 11 rules, it was before I was a libertarian, and they really resonated with me. And I always say that libertarians aren't made, they're born. Like, you can't talk someone into being libertarian. Mm-mm. I think it's either in them or not. And they recognize it when you start talking to them about it. And I kind of recognized it in this, because this kind of, except for the magic hoodoo BS, it kind of seems like Ayn Rand in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of the law of the jungle, the law of commerce, the free market in a beautiful way. So I really dig it. And you were going to talk about some other church that started on a bet. What was it?
Well, let's say
allegedly. Let's preface
allegedly.
It. Yeah.
Okay.
You've heard that.
I've heard this from fairly reliable sources, almost directly. Somebody that was there, that was present.
Someone that says they were there.
They says that they were there and present, and we'll leave their name out of it. But they're a famous person too. But there was a bet that's – what was that?
I thought you said you could say the guy's name.
Okay, I will say the guy's name. It's Captain John Collins, the guy that started the Iron Man. And I knew him and his family for many years and his wife. And I met him officially under unfortunate circumstances. But we did get a chance because we had waited for years to ask him this question to confirm a rumor. Supposedly and allegedly, he was in the room when L. Ron Hubbard and Robert Heinlein made a bet on who could start a religion based off a sci-fi novel. Obviously, L. Ron Hubbard did a much better job, and he started, of course, the Church of Scientology, and Robert Heinlein started what was called the Water Brothers and the Fellowship of the Water Brothers, which was based on the concept behind Stranger in a Strange Land, where they basically blessed – if you shared water with somebody, apparently they were your brother at that point. And he's the only person I've ever ran across living that actually was present at that bet, allegedly.
And says he was, yeah.
Says he was, correct. And it's ironic that it was – these religions were started from sci-fi novels. So but it's like anything else. I think they kind of took it tongue in cheek. Like Robert Heinlein didn't put a lot of weight into that. You know, he thought it was for fun. And so the Fellowship of the Water Brothers kind of had influence on now going back to Robert Anton Wilson, had influence on writers like Robert Anton Wilson and some other folks. And I think the American Church of Druidism came out of the Water Brothers. So.
Man, you know lots of crazy stuff about lots of crazy stuff.
I'm like you, Michael. I've been on the fringe for a while. So,
yeah, it's like when they asked Salvador Dali, have you ever taken LSD? He said, I don't take LSD. I am LSD.
That's pretty much what I think of when I see some of his work. He was in the news recently, but I can't remember what it was for. Hopefully not like Geiger. Of course, he can't die twice.
I know. Salvador Dali, still dead. Too soon.
But yeah, it's like if somebody wants to gain power, it's almost like a state within a state.
Well, a church. That's my problem with people starting churches is like it's so much like a state. Mm-hmm. I guess it's a voluntary state, but it's trying to concentrate and create power where there doesn't need to be any. That's what I feel.
Right. You were talking about the other one that we have in town. We have it's pretty internationally known. We have an International Topless Day in Asheville. And so the women.
Of course you do.
Exactly. And so the women that are involved take their tops off and run around town. And it's called. And it was actually started by, I forget, he's like a race car driver from France, Jean. He started the Raelian movement, which was that UFO kind of movement where they're trying to genetically clone people. And but
heading up on break. Finish it up, man. Wrap it up.
All right. But well, we've got a lot of these types of groups here in town. I mean, it's amazing. Like the Raelian Church and like Genesis.
Cool, man. Here. We'll be back.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. And yes, we're broadcasting this message into space.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
This is Michael Dean, and Jack Johnson had a break fart. It's kind of like brain fart, but it's a break fart. He doesn't know when the break is coming up. I'm busy looking at this really cool webpage that you can Google. It's called Famous Artists and Their Cats. I'm just going to look at that while Jack talks. Go ahead, Jack.
Oh, man. Well, we were talking about strange religions, and if you've never been to our quaint little town, and there's a reason why I call it the Twin Peaks of the South, is because we have literally every religion you can think of here. And it some bizarre things. And like I said, the Raelians, they conduct the topless ceremony. And people – it was sad this year because people came from all around town – or all around the world to see all the topless women in Asheville. And there were like 20 girls showing up this year. So there were a bunch of guys. It was more like a strip show in downtown Asheville than it was actually a march. So it wasn't as great as it was last year. Like the year before, we had just tons of naked women walking through town. That was kind of cool. And but like I said, people would protest. We had our protesters. We didn't have Fred Phelps, unfortunately. But we had we that would be very interesting. But we had a lot of folks that came from all over. So we've had another thing that came in the news, and this will probably be the only other thing I'll touch on other than the satanic thing that we've been discussing. But we had a kind of like a communist guy run against the current district attorney here in town. And then like the communist guy thought he won. It was a primary. Says, I can't wait to be your next DA. And then out of nowhere, like this like cool hippie savior, the pro-pot DA attorney that we have in town, and I'll say his name on the air because he's a public official, but his name is Ben Scales. He's also a musician. Suddenly came out of nowhere and he says, nope, I'm running. And everybody's like, yay. So that pretty much describes how crazy Asheville is in a nutshell. But in addition to our religions, everything else is absolutely wacky.
Well, I think I'd rather be prosecuted by a DA who is a Satanist who goes by these 13 rules of existence or whatever, these Ayn Randian influenced Anton LaVey rules, then the guy in, was it Alabama or Georgia recently, like the head prosecutor in one of those southern states said that the First Amendment only applies to Christians, which is really bizarre and twisted. So what was the – and you said something about like the people who are trying to stop the satanic – statue in Oklahoma were claiming the First Amendment.
Yeah, well, okay. That going back to the Harvard thing. That's the Harvard professors invited the church to put its two cents in, and then the Catholic Church gets on Fox News, of course, and they're basically saying that it's a First Amendment because the Black Mass is a mockery of the Eucharist and whatnot, that it's actually a violation of the rights of Catholics and their First Amendment freedom of speech. And that was literally
that's
the
ridiculous.
Way – that's – yeah.
That's such a misunderstanding of the First Amendment. The First Amendment interpretation of that should be we can do it and you can do whatever you want to it and we can yell at each other in the streets and nobody can stop each other.
Mm-hmm.
Or are they claiming a copyright on God or something and saying it's being violated?
Well, they were going to do, while they were having the Black Mass, they were going to have a Eucharist procession through Harvard. And this whole thing just is bizarre. I mean, here come the Satanists with their Black Mass, and then here come the Catholics with their Eucharist procession and flagellants and whatnot.
Flagellants.
Yeah, right. And suddenly it's just going to – it would seem like a circus, and you wouldn't be able to tell the two apart probably, you know. And – I hope I didn't offend anybody, but probably
I think
did.
You offended everybody. I think you offended everybody with that. But go on.
But I found it hard that they could get on Fox News and claim that it was a First Amendment violation. One, I don't think it would have been that big of a deal if everybody just shut their mouth, because most Harvard professors didn't even know it was happening. People were – one of the kids that was from the Catholic Student Union was asked, he says, well, so what do other students at Harvard think about it? And he says, well, as Catholics, they were naturally offended. But he said, when I talked to other students on campus, none of them knew what was going on, and nobody had ever heard of it. So whoever made it a big deal, I think they gave more attention to the Satanists than probably was due.
Well, yeah. That's what's known as the Streisand effect. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't.
Oh, Barbara Streisand tried to get some photos taken off the internet of her private property taken from a helicopter, and basically it caused the pictures to be reproduced about 1,000 times as much as they would if she hadn't tried to stop them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty common thing, and anybody who's trying to stop somebody who's contrary to their beliefs should consider that. I mean, there was a recent one in Illinois, I think, where some mayor got really upset about a Twitter account that was parodying him. They had 200 followers or something, and he literally raided the guy's house for it and took his computer, sent his goons over there, got a judge to sign basically probably an illegal warrant. And it ended up on the front page of the New York Times. I mean, it ended up getting so much more publicity than it would have if you just let it sit.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking about that today. Our support department at work, they had used a pet name for me in the notes, and I was half tempted not to say something to them specifically for that reason, because I felt like they'll probably just plaster it all over everything when I go into work the next day. So, probably big cake with it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you run the risk of doing that if it's almost like if you tell somebody they can't do something, you're guaranteeing that they're going to do it.
Especially on the internet, where anybody can respond and be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, if someone messes with you, just ignore them. It's the best thing to do.
Well, there was that odd thing that happened with about the women in Africa that have gotten abducted, and how everybody is just going, that's the cause of the day.
Yeah, and I know where this is going. I know the memes you're talking about, but go ahead and tell it for anyone who doesn't know about it. It's pretty funny.
So apparently what happened was Michelle Obama's in the White House, and she holds up a placard. And one of the things you never do is hold up a placard with white paper, because anybody can go through there and
anything
take
it really easily. Yeah.
Right. And so she's holding it
and
up.
She's and
she's
imitating a style of memes that teenagers do on the internet. I'm cool, and my publicist said this is what the cool kids are doing, so I'll do it too.
And she's got her duck face on, and she's looking into the –
What's a duck face?
It's this term that comes out of rap culture, and it's people that kind of suck their lips together and look kind of – it's odd. You have to look it up. It's hard to describe.
They're trying to look sexy.
But right. And so they've actually got diagrams with little arrows showing you what you have to suck in to make it work. And so she puts that out, and of course Ann Coulter, who's practically – she'll do and say anything to get to sell books. So she does the same thing, we want our country back, where Michelle Obama had, I believe, we want our girls back. And so Ann Coulter holds up, we want our country back, and she does the same duck face. Well, that gets the left completely bent out of shape, and of course it spawned all of these memes of Ann Coulter holding up the sign. And at the same time, what's not as reported in the media is that people put up as much of the Michelle Obama holding up every sign you could think of. And this, that's pretty much where our society's at right now. It's a big giant internet meme.
Meme. Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, it's somebody, one of the Fiend fans, one of the Fiend small left fiends made one that was really good. It was a takeoff on something I said or Nima said on the show one time. It was a picture of Michelle Obama holding up a photo of the teenage boy who's an American citizen who Obama had droned and killed for no good reason,
right,
with the caption, "If the Obamas had a son, he would look like this," which is a takeoff on what Obama said about Trayvon Martin.
Right.
And actually, if the Obamas had a son, he would look a lot more like that kid they droned than he would like
Trayvon Martin.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's – and that's – it seems like that's how public opinion is shaped now, is through the meme.
Meme.
And I think of Mima. Mima Vadati.
That's good.
That will help.
Someone's going to make a meme now about Mima Vadati because you said that. It's going to say, "Bring back my Mima."
But that's what, you know, there are New York marketing firms that now use that as the basis of how they're going to shape public opinion. That's, you know, where we're at.
Well, the term meme, it's kind of an interesting one. It's, you know, it has come to mean a photo with a caption, kind of, you know, a bumper sticker amount of text and a photo on the internet that gets shared and goes viral. But it's actually, it predates the internet. It's a meme is an idea, behavior, or style that spreads from one person to another within a culture. And God, who came up with that term? It's Richard Dawkins' 1976 book, The Selfish Gene.
Wow.
G-E-N-E, where he was talking about like the laws of genetics kind of working with ideas and cultural evolution and behavior. Yeah, I mean, like the graffiti. Think about the graffiti. Like Kilroy was here in the 40s. Like that was still going on when I was a little kid. I didn't know what it meant. I still don't know what it meant. But remember that?
I do. I saw it on a bathroom stall in a truck stop one time, and I had never. I was like, "Who's Kilroy?"
Yeah.
But that's a perfect example of what it was before its time in analog. You know, before we've got what we have now, and but. That, you know, that's it's funny too, because suddenly you've got a picture that's just explodes. It's online and people like to take it and they run with it. I guess the more famous one was the cat, and then also with the guy that was drinking Coronas, not Coronas, but
I don't always do this, but when I do that. Yeah.
And I think demotivators were really popular because tech support departments were tired of having motivators beat into them by their bosses.
Oh, yeah. Demotivators were posters based on those motivational posters. You know, they'd have like black background, a beautiful picture of a sunset or something, and then all capital letters in Arial font, white letters on black background saying, you know, "Excellence, it's what you strive for," or something like that. And people made demotivational ones that were pretty funny. Let me see if I can find one. I had a boss I worked at a .com in San Francisco in 96 and 97, making like $30 an hour with my feet up on the table, typing, you know, whatever came into my head. And I was like the lowest paid guy there. And the company went out of business, which is important because my boss had a demotivational poster on his wall. Yeah, like, let's see. Here's one. It says, it's got a guy going over a giant falls in a kayak, and it says, "Believe in yourself because the rest of us think you're an idiot." We'll be back.
All the way.
Worms.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Michael Dean, formulated for multiple cats, but I think I'm allergic to them. I'm really stuffy tonight. That's why I'm kind of throwing it all to Jack Johnson here. What'd you say about cats? You said something about cats.
Yeah, cats. The thing that I thought was really odd was that in Scotland, they have this Scottish wildcat. And all it really looks like is a domestic house cat they let loose from England. It kind of wandered up into the Scottish Highlands. But they claim that's their wildcat, you know. And people go out and take pictures of it and covertly climb through the woods just to take pictures of a cat that apparently looks like any tabby on any follow cat food.
The Loch Ness cat.
The Loch Ness cat. But we were discussing Oklahoma, and we pointed out this phrase in the Fox News article we thought was kind of funny. And it says, and this was Oklahoma's official response, and this comes from the governor's department. And Oklahoma officials say there is no way in hell, and this is actually an article, there's no way in hell that a statue of Satan will ever assume a position at the Capitol. And their quote from the spokesman of the Capitol was, "There will never be a satanic monument on the grounds of Oklahoma State Capitol, and the suggestion that it might be is absurd." So apparently the state's not into this, and that's kind of like a great big ruse, so who knows what will happen.
Didn't they make one of these and just plop it on the grounds and it got removed?
I'm not sure. That I didn't know about, no.
Huh.
It wouldn't surprise me, though. I would do Barney if I was going to do something that was absolutely ridiculous that nobody actually remembered.
Or the flying spaghetti monster. I think it was the flying spaghetti. I think the flying spaghetti monster people were suing to get their religion taught in schools in Oklahoma. I think the people who aren't Christian just like to mess with Oklahoma because it's the most reactive state there is when it comes to this kind of stuff, possibly.
Do you remember the guy that had the colander on his head that was wanting to be recognized as a member of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Explain that church for people who don't know.
In your Neo, like your Sam, I forget what his name is, Sam York, and some of the guys that are involved with Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens and a lot of the new wave of the atheist movement.
Yeah,
and so they have this thing called the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. And so that's kind of like their put down. It says, oh, so you believe into a flying spaghetti monster. And it's kind of show the absurdity of religious beliefs, and that's their kind of punchline. And some people take it quite seriously, though. But if you see somebody dressed up as like a big bowl of spaghetti, that's the reference. So
the things that people spend their time on, you know, I would say that all of this is what there's another meme that would sum it up really well, and it's first world problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not worried about how to hunt down food and water, but more about how to more efficiently and effectively and artistically offend each other, in my opinion.
Yeah. First world problems. Asked for no whipped cream on my tall Starbucks. Gave me a grande with extra whipped cream. Oh no.
And especially people that take pictures of their food. But that's kind of what the topic of our whole show tonight has been, is about the absurdity of how people kind of go back and forth and what captures the American public attention. And, you know, whether it's like a black mass at Harvard or a satanic monument somewhere going to be placed in Oklahoma, which is apparently not going to happen.
You know, people do say things like that, but I think it's kind of picking on America to say that's distinctly American, and I'm not being patriotic. I'm saying people are stupid everywhere. I mean, I could definitely see this causing problems in England or, you know, in some of the South American Catholic countries, they'd probably just shoot you for trying to do something like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, they had the neo-Nazis in Denmark today in Copenhagen. They came out to a protest, and Antifada, I think that's what you call them, anti-fascist people, they showed up and it turned into a big giant street brawl. But, you would think where Denmark and Europe is at right now that they would just let anybody show up for a protest, but apparently that's not even where Europe's at. So society still has its norms.
Yeah, so. They don't have a First Amendment type protection in most countries. And then they have it in some countries written into their constitution, like North Korea, where, yeah, try protesting there. All right. It's been a good time, Jack Johnson. I appreciate it. Anything you want to pimp or mention? Websites, anything? Shows?
That's it. Well, we would just vote for Ben Scales, our ProPod attorney here in Asheville for DA.
Good luck with that. Worms.
Worms. Thanks, Michael.
Yep.
This has been Michael Dean After Dark. I hope we've helped calm the hamster in your brain and left you in a better place than where we found you. We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. Good night.